I want to first of all turn our attention to a word in Scripture in Isaiah 51. It's a word that's come to me through the years, and it's good that we can all pay heed to it. Isaiah 51 and verse 1. It says, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness." It's not written for everybody, but those who are pursuing righteousness, who pursue holiness. I believe that every born-again believer, that's how it must be. That's how I know that I'm really born-again, if I'm pursuing righteousness. So this is the word that God speaks to those who are pursuing righteousness, who seek the Lord. "Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug," or from the pit from which you were dug. And that's something that I have sought to many times in these years that I've known the Lord. It's going to be 50 years on the 17th of November 1967 since 2017. I came to know the Lord in 17th of November. I remember the day and the night, 1967. And through the years, I have thought of this a few times. It has come to me to look to the pit from which you were dug, where I was and where the Lord has brought me. And there are many exhortations like that to remember, to remind ourselves. Peter himself says, "I want to stir up your sincere mind by reminding you." And it's good to be reminded, good to be, we remember the times we fail the Lord, and each time we think about it, we repent, and we can only feel grieved that we failed the Lord. And there have been times like that also in my past life. But I thank God that He didn't give up on me, and in all the times that He sought after me, and I thank the Lord for the grace to repent each time. I believe it's a grace, because Esau sought for repentance and couldn't find it, even though he cried, even though he sought for it with tears. So I find it a great grace that I can not go on repenting of the same sin, but to really repent and to press on. And you know, like we've often heard, the graph goes up. Even though there may be these up and downs, but it goes up. And that's how it's been in my life. I thank the Lord for His mercy. And on Ephesians chapter 2, again we are told the word that you can look at, Ephesians 2 verse 12. It says, "Remember," there's that word again, "remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel," that's the church, the body of Christ, "strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And that's what happened to me, like I was saying, in 1967. On that night, I was in great need. I was frustrated. I was a very disillusioned young man, and I was tired of religion and lost all hope. Even I didn't want to live, and even wanted to end my life way back in 1965. But it was a backslidden believer who met me in the bus while I was going on duty. I was on the railways then, and he told me he knew my condition, because I shared with him, and many times I was depressed and discouraged. And he said, "I think you should go for those meetings." There were meetings in Hyderabad, gospel meetings. There was a crusade there. I had no interest in going to any gospel meetings. I even lost all interest in any church, but I didn't lose faith in God. I still believed in God. And the next evening, I was free. I had made plans for something else, but somehow I believe it was the Lord only who took me there to those meetings. I sat in one corner. I heard the gospel. It was very simple, that Jesus Christ died for me. And I still remember that the preacher literally portrayed, you know, painted a picture, like Paul says, of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then I saw for the first time that God loved me as an individual, not God so loved the world, and that He loved me so much that if I was the only person living on the earth, He would still send Christ to die for me. That smote my conscience, excuse me. And I repented with tears, and I just wept and wept and asked the Lord for forgiveness for my sins. And nobody had spoken to me, but when I saw what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary, I turned to Him. I surrendered my life to Him, and it was a radical change. I came out from that meeting a new man. I found peace in my heart, which I never had in all the years. I was 27 years old at that time. And I'm only sad that it took so long for me to come to that realization, but better late than never. And so things changed radically for me. And some of my friends thought that, you know, I'd gone a little loose up there. And the colleagues I was working with just wondered what happened. But Jesus became my first love. He meant everything to me. And I found a relationship with God through Jesus. Before that, I was trying to find meaning in religion, and I got so frustrated and disillusioned. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 became very living to me. It says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, new things have begun, and new things had begun for me that night. Jesus made me a brand new person, and after that, one of my counselor, I still remember his name, Jandy Jacob, who used to visit me, come many miles to my room just to talk with me and help me understand the scriptures, put me in touch with a Bible-believing church, very good, the Brethren Come Baptist Assembly. And I got the word there, even though it was not the whole counsel of God, which I only heard in CFC later, but I received the word there. And I thank God for that, because there was a foundation that was laid in my life at that time. And in the midst of my pursuit, in my ambition to become an officer on the railways, that's what I was doing, and was climbing the ladder, I became a witness for Jesus. I was a happy man, and there in that office where I worked, where we controlled the movement of trains, I witnessed to my colleagues, and even my boss got upset with me, wanted me to transfer me back. And I said to him, sir, if God doesn't want me here, I'm willing to go back. So I was a changed man. And good friend, my best friend fell away. God gave me a whole set of new friends, brothers in the church who loved the Lord, who were really seeking after godliness. And that's how I lived. In 1968, I felt God's call to leave my job on the railways and to serve Him. It was a clear call that I had. And God spoke to me through a word in Isaiah 44 in a very unique way. I didn't want to do anything emotionally. I just wanted to obey God if that was His will. And so I prayed and asked God to give me a word. And God gave me a word one night in Isaiah 44. He says, now listen, and I put my name, O Ian, my servant, and Ian, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not fear, Ian, my servant, and you whom I have chosen. I'll pour out water on the thirsty land, and streams on the dry ground. I'll pour out my offspring pour out my spirit on your offspring, and my blessing on your descendants, and they will spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water. This one will say, I am the Lord's, and that one I will call on the on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand belonging to the Lord, and will name Israel's name, or name Ian's name with honor. And I thank God. God has done that. I believe in all my children, and fulfilled that word. So I had a confirmation. I wondered what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was going to do. And my boss asked, what are you going to do? And he called me to his office. I said, sir, I don't know. He said, what do you mean you don't know? Are you going to become a priest? I said, no, sir, I don't know. I know God has called me. And they refused to accept my resignation, very similar to Brother Zach's testimony. But I continued to pursue, and 5 months later, they relieved me. And so I was able to leave the railways. I left with a suitcase, a few clothes, lived in the church, in the assembly there, looking after the place and keeping the place, arranging the chairs and doing various things like that. And I helped in the daytime in a literature ministry. They paid me 200 rupees a month. And I was a happy man. And I had no regrets. While I was there, there were some spirit-filled brothers who I had fellowship with, and a missionary that I later came to work with was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they encouraged me to read the scriptures and seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The assembly that I attended didn't preach it. In fact, they spoke against such an experience and said, no, that doesn't happen. You receive the Holy Spirit at conversion. But I read the scriptures, and I saw it that God's promise was there. It was not as what I heard, that you receive the Spirit at conversion. We do. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. But then I saw that Jesus told his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem till you receive power. And what I found I needed in my life was power. So I sought the Lord as I was living there. And one night on the terrace under the stars, I prayed to God. After praying for many days and many nights, and one night I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And there was a complete change in my life, and I became a bold witness for Jesus. And this was just a few months after I had taken water baptism. And I continued to praise the Lord in the language that He gave me, but after some months, I disbelieved because of certain ones that I looked to as my mentors and who persuaded me not to go that way. So I closed up in unbelief. But at the same time, my spiritual life shriveled up. And I began to suffer with depression. I could not cope with the stress and the strain of full-time Christian work. I was disillusioned. I came out really expecting to see great things, but very quickly I was disillusioned with what I saw in full-time Christian work. And I just wondered why I left my job. Whatever it was, I continued to be faithful to God. We had a good group of brothers. We used to go and evangelize in the villages, going out, distributing tracts and preaching the gospel, and sometimes being chased with bamboos out of the village, and we come out and enter from another side, and sometimes coming across a believing family. It was a very blessed experience. Something happened, you know, I grew strong, I got spiritual muscle. And I thank God for those days and for wholehearted brothers that I found at that time. And so, one year I was living in the church, and after that I moved into the YMCA where a room was given to me, a kitchen that was improvised, made into a room. And that was my home for another year. I had met my wife, Vicky, just shortly after my conversion. I was so happy to know that she was born again. She was baptized. And at the beginning, we loved each other. But I was afraid. I didn't want to make a mistake. I prayed and asked the Lord to guide us. We stopped, and our friendship, our relationship began. We prayed together, and we committed ourselves to the Lord. I didn't know at that time just when I would be able to marry her. I was still on the railways. I had not told her yet. I had not received the call yet. This is before I was called by God to leave my job. And after 1 year, I think that we, 1.5 years that we had met one another, I was called by God, and then I wrote and told her, I believe God has called me to serve Him. I don't know what this is going to do to our relationship, but I give you freedom. You can decide to move on with your life. But I cannot promise you anything. I do not know when we can really get married. So I expected her to change her mind, because, you know, marrying a guy like this, I was just getting 200 rupees a month. I couldn't even support a wife, and I didn't know how things would go. But she wrote back a couple of weeks, and there was no email at that time, and said, however long it takes, I'll wait for you. I do want to serve the Lord with you. So that made me really happy. We got married in 1970, and then in 1971, for the first time, I met Brother Zach when he came to Secunderabad for Deeper Life meetings, the assembly that I was attending. We invited him home for tea. Our first child was not yet born. I think we were expecting our first child. And so we had him over for tea. That's way back in 1971. So we were very blessed, because when we went, he was teaching the Bible in these meetings every morning, and we were very blessed by those studies. And then I continued to serve. I was working among young people in Youth for Christ. And after 3 years, you know, having left my job, I was so frustrated with religious activity that deprived me to know God and His Word, all the time active. And I was so empty inside. And I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I said, but I had closed up in unbelief. And I just felt, you know, we shared together and said, I think we need to just quit for a time being and go down and find some place where we can study the Word. And so God opened the door for us to come to Bangalore. That was in 1972. We joined a short Bible study course here in a Bible study center that emphasized on discipleship. Brother Zach was the teacher there to teach us the Scriptures. We enjoyed listening to him. We used to look forward to his sessions there. Everything else was boring, hermeneutics and how to preach and all these things. But we used to look forward to the times when he came there. And it was a blessed 8 months. This is the second time that we met. I'm sharing all this to help us see the links. These are links that helped me to come to CFC. And I believe God had a purpose in allowing us to meet again the second time. So after that, again, I was back into full-time work. I was offered to join the Baptist Church as the assistant pastor. And so in mid-1973, I came in first, and I was assisting a Canadian who was there. Brother Zach and Sister Annie used to fellowship there, so we got to know one another a little bit. And after that, after 1 year, Brother Zach, they had asked Brother Zach to be the pastor. You know the story, he didn't want to be called pastor, but he accepted. I believe that was God's purpose. And that was the third time that God brought us together. And I thank God for that, because I really consider him as a Daniel who came to bring us out of Babylonian Christianity, and that's exactly what happened. And so I felt it was a privilege to be the assistant pastor to Brother Zach. He had a big name then. He was a well-known Bible teacher and preacher, speaking at Keswick conventions and that big convention in Kerala. So I thought it was a great privilege to be the assistant pastor to somebody like that. And at that time, I didn't know much about him. We used to meet and pray together. And one thing I knew, my spiritual life was a disaster. I was defeated by sin. My hidden life became more and more distant from my outward life. Because I told you, I had closed up in unbelief when God had baptized me in the Holy Spirit. So again, it was all activity. And here we were faced with a new set of problems in the church, the Baptist church here, particularly with the young people. And it went on like this way. My hidden life, my inside life became further and further away from what I was on the outside and what people saw me on the outside. I was a hypocrite. But the Lord put us together, and Brother Zach also shared that was the lowest point of his walk with the Lord, his Christian life. But anyway, the Lord put us together, and there was a lot of spiritual toilet cleaning we had to do in this church. It was not popular. He became very unpopular very soon, particularly with the young people. The young youth meetings, we used to have over 120, 130 young people. It whittled down to 7. When we began to preach against worldliness, when we began to preach against the club-type atmosphere that was there and encourage young people to seek the Lord and take their life seriously, came down to 7 people. And so we had a great concern for the young people here. And I think this is one of the high points that happened in the midst of our concern for the church and for the young people. We used to meet regularly for prayer. We never really shared the struggles that we were going on inside. But the high point of that was at a youth camp in 1974, October. And I believe that was the beginnings of CFC. Because it was at that youth camp that God met with us. A high point in God's plans for us, which are not just for us, but for many others like we see today. And it was our lowest point. I know it was my lowest point. I was even willing to quit and go back and take up a secular job. That's how low I was. And I don't think we were able to express that to one another. But in that youth camp, on the last night, when we met together, another English brother, who later was the principal of Clarence School, we met together one night. We saw the messages that was being preached were powerful, and nothing was happening to the young people. They were going and fooling around in the... This was in Quiet Corner at the foot of the Nilgiris, you know, and going into the jungles, fooling around, smoking hash and pot and all these things. And we were so, so discouraged. I know I was. And one night we met for prayer, the three of us. We locked the room and we lifted our hands in despair to God. And we said, Lord, we don't know what to do. Only you know the answer. And never forget that time, because I know this is what the Lord said to me. And I believe to Brother Zach also, that the problem is not with your young people. The problem is with you. God has had to say that to me many times through the years, in situations in the home, in what we faced, situations we faced in the church, many times God has had to say, the problem is not with the other person, the problem is with you. And that was a turning point. Nothing happened in that camp. They all went back. There were about 120 people, I think, in that camp. But something happened in our hearts. And we came back to Bangalore. And from that day on, we began seeking God. First, independently of each other. Because we were too scared to speak to one another about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which I was again thinking about, lest I was scared we would think that Brother Zach would think I'm becoming Pentecostal. And I think he had the same fears also. So we never confided in one another that that's what we needed. We needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We needed power. We needed what the apostles and the early church received on the day of Pentecost. And so the Lord saw our need and he heard our cries and our sighs like he heard the children of Israel's cries in bondage. I'd like you to look at that in Exodus chapter 2 and be encouraged by that. I've been encouraged every time I read that. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. Exodus 2, 23 to 25. Came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. And verse 24 says, so God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel. God took notice of them. And notice those words. The sons of Israel sighed because of their bondage. And they cried out. And their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. And I believe our cry for help rose up to God that night as we sought him. So God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant. And God saw the sons of Israel. And God took notice of them. I hope you'll be encouraged by that every time you face a problem or a difficulty. God takes notice. And the Lord said there, God didn't just sit up there and hear their cries. It says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their sufferings, so I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land. And it's amazing that in 1975, January, that the Lord began to answer our cries, and sent to us two men. You've heard this before, but I'm saying this for the benefit of those who are newcomers to the church. Two men whom God sent to us, one an Anglican pastor by the name of Michael Harper, to lead us into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that Brother Zach received in his home, as he has testified when he invited his brother for lunch. And we used to have an evening service in the Baptist church, and I was praying that I went for those meetings in St. John's, and I was just praying if he gave an invitation, I would go up. None of those days he gave an invitation. I did not know how to acknowledge my need. I was really, really in need. And at the last minute, a meeting was arranged because he had one more day. And I believe that was for me. And there were about 50, 60 people in that meeting. All the board members were there. Brother Zach was there. I did not know what happened to him the previous day. But the Lord spoke to me. And I was there when we went to prayer. And the Lord said to me, is your need greater than your ministry here? I was the assistant pastor. I was paid by the church. And I'll tell you honestly, I was scared. I didn't know what I would do if I acknowledged that what I needed was the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I knelt there and I was weeping. I said, Lord, my need is greater. I don't care if this church throws me out. And all the board members are there. And there's my brother Zach sitting there. I walked forward. I was encouraged to see an elderly couple who were missionaries for about 40, 48 years or whatever, go forward. And I went forward. And they must have thought, now what is the assistant pastor going forward for? I went forward. And the brother who prayed, the two brothers who prayed together asked me what my need was. I said, I need an assurance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they laid hands, they prayed about 10 of us there. And I, for the first time, was convicted of unbelief as a terrible sin, worse than the worst sin that you can think about. And the Lord convicted me that what He had done to me, what He had done for me and given me about 7 years earlier, I disbelieved. And I repented of unbelief. I asked the Lord to forgive me. And in that, to even encourage me, these brothers knew nothing about my past life. And I had a hang-up about the gift of tongues because of what I saw in Pentecostalism and going to Pentecostal churches. And I said, I want none of that. And the word that God gave me, the word of wisdom, the language the Lord has given you is real. But not just that. When I repented of unbelief, it is so vivid to me that as I confess to the Lord, it's like the floodgates were open, the dam burst. I began to just praise God. And not loudly, but in the language the Lord had given me earlier. But I know something happened. I know the Holy Spirit came upon me. I had the assurance. And we continued. That brought us together. That was a bond. I'll never forget that. Our whole praying together and our meeting together changed from that time on. Because in the next day when I went to, I used to use Brother Zach's scooter, I think, went to give him his scooter, and he asked me, he said, what happened? You went forward last night, what happened? And then I told him. And we just embraced one another. He said, Ian, I did not know what to tell you, but this is what happened to me. And that was the bond that God brought between us. And praying together was so much more meaningful. And then the other man that God led to us a few months later, there was not much opposition that we were facing. We began to preach it in our preaching. But there was not much opposition that we faced when it was just us. But when other people in the church, the ones, not the board members, I think one board member, and all the others had also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit through a brother that God had sent, a Presbyterian pastor by the name of Harold Bredson. You've heard about that, those of you heard this before. And not just to lead these brothers and sisters who were later to become the beginning of the church in CFC, but to come with a prophetic word for the church. I'll never forget that. I believe, we really, both of us believe that God was leading the church and wanted to, He had a purpose. We never even thought of, never entered our mind, never, Brother Zach not once suggested we go separately, we build another church or anything like that. And he came one morning, one Sunday morning when he had to preach with a word that was prophetic. And I'll never forget it. And he was sick. He was lying down in the pastor's room next to the stage. And he just managed to get up and he preached a word that day that was prophetic for that church. He says, God wants to lead. This is what he said. God wants to lead this church in a direction where you will become a great blessing throughout this country and the world. And He has chosen His man, your pastor, Zach Poonen. God will use him either with you or without you. So he says, listen to what the Lord is saying to you as a church. But they didn't receive that. The opposition was stirred up. It stirred up a real opposition there. And when we began to sense that, Brother Zach suggested, see, brothers, if I don't want to be a cause of conflict here, I'm willing to step down. I'm willing to quit as pastor. And a few months later, they met secretly, had a board meeting. He was the chairman. But without him, they had a board meeting and decided to accept his resignation and to ask him to step down. So that's what he offered to them. A few months later, on August the 15th, 1975, when they had this board meeting, they said, we will ask him to resign. And they wanted me to continue. and work under the board. So when they told me, and when they came to my home and spoke to me, and many well-meaning people said, "No, no, we have asked, we have accepted Razak's resignation, but we want you to continue." And I said, "No, I cannot continue, because if it concerns the Word of God and what the Word of God, what I believe the Word of God says, I stand by the Word of God. If He goes, I go too." So that 17th, that was a Sunday, 17th of January, August, 17th of August 1975, when he first, they wouldn't let him speak, but he says, "See, I have a responsibility to this church." And so they gave him one last time to speak, and you know, we have that message, the moment of crucial decision. And I'll never forget that. I've listened to that word a few times. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. It says, "How often," Jesus said, "how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not have it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate." And that was the word that God spoke at that time. "How often I wanted to gather you together, like a hen gathers her chickens, but you would not have it." So we had made our decision, and we left that day, and there were some tears. Some of them were weeping. Not the whole, there were many people who were open, but there were particularly two people who stirred up all the opposition in the church. And so we were out of the church, and I was just left with a roof over my head, because this, I was being supported by the church. They stopped supporting me right from that time on. And some of the brothers and sisters, some of the brothers came and said, "What do we do?" We said, "No, Brother Zach said, you don't need to leave, you go back." And he said, "No, how can we go back? They're going to tear down all that we have believed." So we said, "We'll meet for prayer." And that evening, 17th of August, Sunday, 17th of August, 1975, we met for prayer, one of the most powerful prayer meetings I have ever witnessed and been part of in my whole life. Because God met with us in such a wonderful way. It's so vivid to me as I think back now, 41, 42 years. And the Lord encouraged us. A word from Revelation 3 says, "Behold, I put before you an open door which no man can shut. I shut doors which no man can open, and I open doors which no man can shut. And behold, I put before you an open door." We had a powerful prayer meeting that day, and that was a prophetic word. As we see today, it's such a wide open door that God had opened. We didn't see it then. And we continued to meet together, and we never thought that we would be a church. We continued to meet together, and God blessed us, added people little by little. We had a great reproach. People were warned, you know, don't be careful of that group at 16 DeCosta Square, DeCosta Square, don't go there. My own dad had told me when he came to know that I had quit the Baptist church and used to work the Vrindavan there, my stepdad actually. And he told me once on the platform, East Station platform, he says, "Ian, I hope you have your eyes open in joining Zach Poonen." I said, "Dad, my eyes have never been more open." I'll never forget that. Yeah, later, and the irony of it, was Brother Zach who led him to the Lord just 3 weeks before he died. And he saw what God had done in our lives. So we don't take any credit for it. There's absolutely nothing of us. It was God. That's all I see. And truly we can say this is the Lord's doings. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And what a day it was. And what God has done, we see the result of it. We had a lot of opposition. And after that, we had to think of supporting ourselves. We decided that we would not take 1 rupee from the church. But Zach had a little money that he start his own business. 1 year later, I prayed and God gave me a word that every man work with his own hands and eat his own bread. And I said, what can I do with my hands? There were a few things. I had some ability in plumbing, had some ability in electrical work, had some ability in carpentry, had learned the basics in school. Tried each of them. I found that God gave me more grace in carpentry. So with a box of tools that was given to me years ago by a missionary, and and in a garage that was just rented to me, and the rent was that I should pray for the lady. I said, that I will do. And that's how I started my business way back in 1977. And amazingly, God blessed it. I started taking jobs. I took one boy to help me. And we never lacked. We went through hard times. And there were times, way back in Secunderabad, we didn't have enough money to buy a tin of milk for our first child. Amazingly, God provided. So we went through rough times, but God never let us down. We never made our needs known to anyone. We never asked anyone for a loan. Not even my parents did we tell them, that we were finding it difficult. But God blessed the business, and we have seen through the years just what the Lord has done. 35 years I was in the business, the way God has blessed, able to educate my children. Not once did I go to Clarence School and said, I know I'll pay the schools next month. Not once did I tell my landlord and landlady, I'll pay the rent next month. God provided all my need. I just say that to encourage all of us, that whatever we go through, God takes notice. And He will provide every need of ours. And just one or two things and I'll stop. That, we continued meeting in Brother Zach's home for nearly 6 years, sometimes more than twice a week. And we seek the Lord for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many used to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We used to fast and pray. We saw the Lord do miracles among us, even changing of government. At one time that was to bring in a bill forbidding conversion. Many, many things like this. And there was a prayer that we prayed. You've heard it often, which we still pray today. And it was this, Brother Zach taught us to pray. Lord, lead us to those who hunger after You, or lead us to them. And if You don't do either, then show us what is wrong with us. And God has answered that prayer and He continues to answer it. And another word that often came to us in the beginning and many times through the years, which we have seen the Lord do, is Zephaniah 3, verse 9 to 13. I'll stop with that. You can just look at it. It's a very important word that we can give heed to. Yeah, it says there, then I will give to the people purified lips that all of them may call on the name of the Lord to serve Him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, my dispersed ones will bring my offerings. In that day you will feel no shame because of all your deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proud exulting ones, and you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. That has really put a fear in my heart. I said, Lord, I never want to be removed. I never want to be puffed up with pride. Let me humble myself, remain humble. And He said, I'll leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel, that's the church, listen to us, will do no wrong and tell no lies. Nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. For they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. So, that's how it's been, and God has blessed us. I didn't know this, I came to know later, that Brother Zach had talked with Sister Annie about selling their home to help support us. I wept when I heard it. But that is the bonds that God has brought among us. We never lacked, either of us. I came to understand I was earning more than what he was getting, but yet it met all our needs. So that was the tent making that we were in, and I was looking for a job, and the only job I thought I could get was to drive that toy train in Cobham Park, but God gave me much more than that. In the middle of that, you know, when my business prospered, there was one word that God gave me to Brother Zach when we walked down to my workshop on that side of town. You know, it speaks about the apostles, where they said, we will not leave the word of God to serve tables. And, you know, when there was a problem that arose among them, so we'll give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And a word that came through Brother Zach, you know, he said, Ian, be careful that you don't leave the word of God to make tables. I never forgot that. I took it seriously. And one other thing that I learned from him, which he shared many times, when he, in those days, when he said that he prayed to the Lord in this prayer, Lord, you take care of my business and I will take care of yours. I want to say to all of us, brothers and sisters, that when I began to pray that prayer, I wanted to make the kingdom of God my primary concern. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. My business changed from that day. When I would get a job, it was becoming a bit too strenuous for me. But when the Lord took it over, I would get a job, and when I'm about to finish it, I'll get another job. That's how it was, I think, since I prayed that prayer, maybe about 20 years. Before that, it was a strain. And so I've seen God do wonderful things. I share that with you to help you to understand how the Lord brought me to CFC. And these are all the links. And I thank God that I can be part of a church that preaches the whole counsel of God. I thank God that it's here that I've heard about victory over sin. It's here that I've heard that I can overcome anger, which I was a slave to. And God is working in me and has worked in me to set me free. And I've seen that He has set me free. And so many, many other things that we continually battle. So I praise God. And I don't know if we really value, my brothers and sisters, how privileged we are to be part of the church that God is building in the last days. I thank God with all my heart. I thank God for dear brothers, like Brother Zach, who has blessed me right from the beginning, right from the time I've known him, for Newton and for Charles and other brothers also, and families here. I really praise God that I can be part of this church, part of what God is doing in these last days. Thank you. God bless you.